flexibility, that freedom, that dream that everyone wants when you work for yourself.
Everyone, welcome to the Click Collective podcast, I Started a Business, where we celebrate the journeys of e-commerce enthusiasts and entrepreneurs. I'm Lani, your host, and in each episode, we shine a spotlight on one of our members. We'll dive into their business journey, why they started, how they're going, their highs and lows, and everything in between. In this episode, we chat with Charlene and Vivian, founders of The Beauty Fridge, who launched their business in May 2019. Fast forward to 2023, you can now find their mini skincare fridges at Maya, Adore Beauty, Net-a-Porter, and The Iconic. Hey, Charlene and Vivian, thank you so much for joining me today. Let's start off by briefly introducing yourselves and your business.
Hi, I'm Vivian and I'm one of the co-founders of The Beauty Fridge.
Hey, I'm Charlene and I'm the other co-founder of The Beauty Fridge. So The Beauty Fridge is basically a small electronic refrigerator that you use to store your skincare and beauty products. It's basically a sleek and stylish solution that improves the quality of your favorite products and skincare. We started this business in 2019 and we're so excited to tell you more about it.
Okay, so let's rewind the clock to the beginning. What inspired you to start The Beauty Fridge, and have you guys always wanted to be entrepreneurs?
So yes, I've always wanted to be an entrepreneur. I think it stemmed from my parents. They worked really hard when I was a child to provide a life for us. They immigrated to Australia in their 20s and eventually both ended up working for themselves. So growing up, I would help them out as well, and by doing that, I learned a lot of valuable business skill sets. And I think I always knew that I would eventually want to either be working for myself and start something on my own or take over from my parents after they retired.
Yeah, awesome. And what about you, Charlene?
I had a very similar upbringing as well, being a child of immigrant parents. I think we all go through the struggle of seeing them sacrifice so much and come, you know, they came to Australia with nothing but sandals and a bag of clothing. That speaks volumes about how hard, you know, both of our parents have worked. And I had a really similar upbringing where my parents ran a cafe since I was 14. So,
oh, that's so cool.
In Melbourne.
What's it called?
It was, we were in Maya for 12 years.
Oh, cool.
And then after that, they opened up in Eastland recently in that Maya. So I think when I was 14, I was sort of like thrust into this like world of like, oh, ordering inventory.
Yes.
I was hiring people at 14. I was interviewing at 15. Like I was running like, you know, the stock. I was paying wages. I was organizing, yeah, like accounting meetings for my parents.
You were born
like,
for this.
It was just one of those things. It's like, okay, well, my mum and dad have done this and, you know, English isn't their first language. So
yeah.
I found myself, you know, stepping up. Me and my sister both supported them in, you know, transitioning from their blue collar work to cafe. So that was a huge learning for me, and I think it taught me a lot of business skill sets and, you know, mindset as well. And then when I moved into university, I was like, okay, well, the most obvious thing to study is business. And then I was just sort of like, yeah, cool. And I think the other thing is we grew up in such a digital age. I think year 11, year 12, Instagram came up and you saw all these entrepreneurs like Greta, you know, starting Skinny Me Tea and like making hundreds of thousands of dollars off a tea bag, like insane money. And I was like, you know what, I can do that too.
Exactly, I want to do that
yeah,
too.
Yeah, I want some of that, you know. So I think, yeah, that was basically my sort of journey. And I think, yeah, being an entrepreneur was just one of those things that slowly...
It was already in you guys
was
to
harvesting.
Begin with.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Eastland's the nearest shopping centre for me. Yeah.
Oh my God, come see me. I'm there Wednesdays.
I will actually come and see you when I'm not working, obviously.
Yeah, you do have a job.
I do have a job. But that's really cool to know.
Yeah.
So the cafe in Maya.
In Maya. So they were forced shut during COVID. So they closed down the Knox City Maya shopping centre.
Yeah.
That was like one of their shrinkage stores. So it wasn't doing well. And then mum and dad were given the opportunity to be like, okay, let's start a new cafe inside the other Maya. Mm. And that, you know, obviously entailed them starting a business from 60. They don't really know the ins and outs of, you know, food registrations, health and safety certs, like, you know, registering a whole business from start to finish, buying in inventory, your capital goods, fridges, refrigerators, all these things, like hiring new staff, setting up a whole new site. Like it was, yeah, a lot of work. And I think that's something I did recently. So I guess I could start a business, a restaurant off the top of my head if I wanted to as well. Random.
That's awesome though. Yeah, so career-wise, apart from your parents' businesses, were there other jobs you guys did?
That's a really good question. So I worked in human resources for about two-ish years, and then I worked a random admin job. Which, jumping the story, but that's where I met Viv.
Cool.
Yeah, so
we'll get back to that.
Yeah, we'll get back to that one. But yeah, I worked those. I wouldn't really say they if anything, fostered more of a drive for me to start my own business, because I absolutely hated the corporate 9-to-5 grind, the Monday to Friday. I thought it was just draining and like, it was just a lot and too much. And I was just like, I don't know if I can do this for the next 60, 50 odd years. Yeah, okay, this is not for me, guys.
Definitely. Yeah. What about you, Viv?
So prior to starting TBF, I had a degree in marketing and I moved straight into marketing after uni.
Cool.
I absolutely also hated it. I hated the 9-to-5. It just wasn't for me. Luckily enough, I guess, you know, working in marketing, it gave me an idea of what I didn't want to do.
Yeah.
But those skills were transferable when we did start the business.
I was going to say.
I think the experience did help a lot with having an idea on how to go ahead with branding and the social media aspects of the business, because that's when, I guess, social media, Instagram was launching off and it was becoming the next big thing. And I was coordinating that in my work, and also I had a social media account when I used to do food blogging. And then those skills I was also able to use in the initial marketing research, where we needed to identify, you know, customer behaviours, researching, you know, our target market and how to build a stronger customer base. So other than that, you know, was it worth 4.5 years of studying and couple thousand dollars?
Yes.
Probably. Yes. Maybe. And no.
Yes and no, yeah. Definitely probably both.
When I do it again, but no.
It's always good to have though.
Yeah.
And it's good that you've brought those skills into your business too. You can definitely tell you are marketing queens with all your reels you've been making and your TikToks.
No.
No. But we'll get into the social media later, because I'd love to talk to you guys about that. What do you think were the initial steps for starting your business? Was it testing out different manufacturers or coming up with branding? Which step do you think it was for you guys?
I think it's a combination of everything, because you got to look at it as a holistic type of thing, where we first started off with a business plan. We worked on that for the initial 3 months, and it took so long to get things moving. I remember, you know, it wasn't until we actually started doing all the research, the groundwork, that we realized that it was a lot of work, from registering a business to actually doing the market research and finding the products and sampling them from our manufacturers. We wanted to make sure that we were bringing the best product available for our customers, and that took a lot of time, and we're very picky. So just
perfectionist, would you
say? Yeah, very perfectionist. Yeah, we aim for perfection, so it took a long time. And then above that, we had to try and learn how to certify the product, what goes into making it Australian certified according to Australian standards in order to enter the Australian market. That was really difficult, because, you know, Charlene and I don't have any experience in electrical products.
Yeah.
So now if you ask us any questions, I think, you know, we could be electricians.
So there's not really just one answer. It's multiple areas you focused on.
Yeah, everything works alongside each other. And then before that, you have to work on all those things before you can even approach, you know, a designer for branding, packaging designs, organizing your logo, and then working on the website. Yeah. So, yeah, it takes a long time, and each step leads towards the other.
Yeah.
It took us actually 1.5 years to...
I think I read that somewhere. Yeah.
From start to launch, September 2018 approximately to launching on the 31st of May 2019.
Yeah.
Crazy amount of time.
Okay. Well, then that leads to the question, how did you come up with the beauty fridge? And then I also would love to know how you guys met each other.
Okay. So the funny story about how we came up with the beauty fridge, I think we literally brainstormed for the longest time. We sat on the ground. I think we had scribbles over the ground. We were just trying to think of a name. And then we were like, you know what? It's a beauty fridge. So let's just call it the beauty fridge.
But even like the concept behind it, how did you think of, oh, I'm going to store skincare in a fridge? How did that come up? I would love to know. I think that's unique.
Super random, right? Right? Every time we tell people it's skincare and beauty fridge, they're like, what?
Yeah.
I think for the longest time, I always had a note in my phone of like random business ideas or products that I thought would be really good to introduce to the Australian market. So I'm an avid Pinterest scroller. And when I'm not looking at just like outfits and home decor, I'm looking at like beauty, skincare stuff. So I saw this lady had a picture. I don't know if she was from the US, but she had a little mini refrigerator that she bought. It wasn't like branded or anything. It was just like this plain little mini fridge, and she had her skincare and her tools in it. Ooh. On her vanity. And at the time, like that wasn't a thing. Like in 2018, no one had a dedicated skincare refrigerator that was mini, cute, aesthetic, suited the vibe of her vanity and stuff like that. So then I print screened that, and I remember sending it to a lot of my girlfriends, and I was like, what do you think of this? Do you think it's cool? Just doing some very minimal market research between me and my two friends. And then they were all like, oh my God, that's wild. Like one of them was like, what even is that? Why would you need that? And I was like, well, you don't get it. So let me, and then I remember going to work on Monday, and I was with Viv at the time working with her. And then I was like to Viv, what do you think of this? And then Viv was like, I want one. I was like, I know I want one. And then when we were looking online, like beauty fridge, beauty, like skincare fridge, there was nothing really catered towards like that aesthetic or nothing that was specifically made for skincare storage. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the best thing you could get was like a beer, mini beer fridge that was like grass green colored. It was like, nothing was really the vibe.
Yes.
So we were like, you know, if we can't buy anything like it, we'll just make it ourselves, because clearly there's a market for it, because we want it and we are the target market, being, you know, the 20 something skincare users that we are. So we're like, if we'd buy it, we're sure there's other girls or men and women who would be interested in having something like this. So yeah, that's sort of where course. We saw it and where we found it. And we were like, cool, let's definitely, try it.
Yeah, definitely aesthetically pleasing. They're so cute.
That's the aim of the game.
And then how did you guys meet each other?
So we actually met each other in the workplace. We used to work together. And the funny thing is, you know, before we started this business, we actually knew each other for 3 months before we decided to go knees deep into this business venture together. I think when I first met Charlene, I thought we clicked instantly. She was my work wife from basically day one.
Oh, I love that.
Yeah, it was just so easy. I felt like I'd known her forever, and we worked really well together. So I think we knew that the most important thing was that because we worked together and we knew we worked well together, we were starting this business relationship from a working relationship instead of a friendship, which was, yeah, really good for us. And then I remember we used to always talk about, you know, business ideas, how to get out of the 9-to-5 grind, how we hated our jobs. We hated the same job. We just didn't want to be there anymore. And, you know, 5 years later, here we are. Still my work wife, but with a lot more freedom and flexibility. It's like hanging out with a friend. Every single time I come to work, and sometimes we get sidetracked.
That's so nice. And we gossip and talk. You know, I do see that sometimes.
Like after all this time, I spend probably most of my time with Charlene in a week, and I feel like I never run out of things to say. I always have.
There usually isn't with girls.
No.
We can keep talking and talking.
That's true. Yeah. So
I love that. That's so cool. I did not know that. To give people more of a visual, what are the dimensions of your fridge? Just so people understand that it's a mini skincare fridge.
I would say the height is about 30 if you're looking at the 10 litre model. So yeah, the external dimensions are 30 by 24.5 by 34 centimeters. So, yeah, it's perfect for like a vanity. So if you imagine like a six pack sort of like stacked on top of each other, like you'd be able to fit that in, like of cans. Sorry, I should say what a six. Yeah.
Okay, cool. Yeah, just to give people more of a visual, the listeners.
Yeah, good question.
What would you say are the benefits of storing skincare in a cool environment?
So apart from it being super cute and a great storage solution, I think one of the main things is that it helps extend product shelf life when you refrigerate your skincare products. It also helps prolong the product efficacy as well as stabilize active ingredients in your skincare items, as well as reduce bacterial growth, because before starting the beauty fridge, I used to actually refrigerate my skincare, but I would put it in the kitchen fridge next to all the food, the tomato sauce, the leftovers, and it was just not.
I have done that, I'm not going to lie.
Yeah, it's not.
It's pretty gross.
Yeah, it's not something that you want to do. And honestly, it could have been, you know, making my skin worse than better. That's what we aim to achieve. So you've tried cold skincare before, by putting your skincare in the kitchen fridge, Lani?
Yes, I have.
Do you like it?
I do like it.
Yeah.
It's very, I like the cooling sensation of it. Mm-hmm. That was kind of the reason why I was doing
it.
But I do want to get back into it as well. I have been looking at your fridges and I'm going to ask my parents to get it for me for Christmas.
No.
Yeah, No, really, I am. No, because I've been really on my skincare grind this year. I have been using La Roche products.
Oh, yeah.
I'm obsessed.
It's great.
But affordable. I didn't know that you had to store vitamin C serum in the fridge. I found that through your page, your Instagram page, and I was like, oh, sugar.
Yeah, because of the active ingredients. That.
Yeah. So now I do store it in the fridge. So I need to get one of your fridges because it's actually really gross storing it in my food fridge at home.
It's not cute.
No.
And like sometimes it's not the smell cute. And you're just like, nah, it's not. It's not ideal. Especially after you've showered and you feel clean, you don't want to.
Yeah.
Go back and feel dirty.
I know.
Also, when I peek in the fridge at night, I get midnight munchies because I sleep really late and I shower really late. So if I do my skincare at midnight and I look in my fridge, I might accidentally eat the whole thing, which is not the best. Yeah.
So what skincare products do you recommend storing in your beauty fridge then?
Good question, Lani. We do have two settings on the beauty fridge. There is a cold setting and a hot setting.
Ooh, okay, I did not know that.
So as you mentioned before, vitamin C. So we always recommend active ingredients, like anything with a precious ingredient, to pop it inside the fridge. Vitamin C is an obvious one because as soon as you open that, it'll start oxidizing, keeps turning orange to the point where, I've actually had irritation from a vitamin C serum because it was oxidized. So, which is, it gets gluggy.
Yeah.
It gets that really deep, rusty color. So it's like benzoyl peroxide is another really good active. And then obviously your serums, masks, gel-based formulas do really well in the refrigerator. So if you've got like a hyaluronic acid-based like moisturizer.
Oh, I do.
Yeah, anything that's like a jelly consistency. Yeah, it's so nice on the skin. I have really bad eczema. So all of my creams that are gel-based like do so well because I usually get eczema in between my eyeballs and on the bottom of my eyelids and stuff like that. So it's really soothing on my irritated skin. Eye creams, sheet masks, classic sheet mask in the fridge is so good.
I need to try that. I still haven't tried that.
Yeah.
And roller. Yeah.
Facial tools and, you know, those eye patches, they're so good in the refrigerator. And then the hot setting, we love a warm facial towel because it's like that at home and Dota spa, you know, don't need to go out.
Yes.
Just get it at home. Heat your eyelash curler, so that makes it.
Eyelash curler. Okay.
So it heats it subtle, really, like it's like a light heat, not like you pop it in the microwave heat. You don't want to burn off your eyelashes.
Yeah,
it's just like a warm, so like it's more effective when you're curling your eyelashes in the morning. Yeah, so
that's a cool
little tip. Obviously your facial massage tools, like the Gua Sha, Jade Rollers, the Beauty Glue. clothes.
I have
subtle
all
plug.
Of this and do not store it in a fridge. So I'm learning a lot.
Yeah. So that's both hot and cold. It'll be good on.
Yeah.
And obviously facial oils and any waxes and hair masks, like hair oils and stuff like that, are also good on the warm setting. So yeah.
And hair oils.
The
okay.
more you know.
Yeah. Yeah, the more you know. So basically everything, like most things.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think most things only – it is like we do say that the refrigerator, it's not just for the benefit of, you know, longevity, the efficacy. It's also the experience.
Yeah.
You know, it's the ritualistic experience behind owning something like the beauty fridge. It's sort of like, okay, this is my downtime. This is my me time.
Yeah.
I'm going to wind down. I'm going to do the hot towel today. I'm going to do the hot hair mask. Do you have like a one day a week where you like shave hair mask?
That's actually
like,
tonight for
fuck
me.
Fuck your eyebrows. Like,
it's just a little glow up.
I feel like globally it's like a Thursday night for girls. Yes. Because like yes. Friday you're busy.
It is.
Saturday yes. I'm out in town.
Exactly.
Like, yeah. So I find that Thursdays, like across the board, all my friends are like tanning, waxing, plucking everything left
for
to right.
Sure,
like,
for sure.
Yeah. I mean, a beauty fridge comes as a big part of my life now on a Thursday night because that's what I'm doing. I'm doing stuff that's like in my fridge, you know?
I love that. What about, I'm not sure if you already stated this, sorry, but what about tanning lotion as well, like tanning foam?
We find that it not necessarily requires refrigeration. Okay. It's not really one of those things that like, I mean, unless
I
you like. Yeah, yeah. No, that's a good question. Unless you like the feeling of cold tanning foam.
Yeah, true. It'd be a bit cold to put on, but yeah.
I don't know about tanning because you're already stripped down and you're cold, putting yeah. more cold products on.
That is true. I just thought I'd ask if it makes the tanning last longer. Like no. as in the product, I mean. Yeah.
We should actually look into that because we haven't actually... Yeah.
Okay.
We'll get back to you.
Okay, please do.
Yeah.
Do you guys have anything new in the pipeline for the beauty fridge?
We are working on a few things. So
exciting.
We're working on new product lines, a new look, and... this will all be, I think, hopefully revealed next year. So
oh,
if you watch
exciting.
This space, hopefully next year will be unrecognizable, but in a good way. So we have a fire under our asses to work really hard to get this over the line because, yeah, it's time for a new facelift, I think.
When you say new look, do you mean rebrand?
Everything.
Wow.
Yeah.
Will you still be called the beauty fridge or you can't say it's a surprise?
It's a surprise.
It's
you
a
don't
surprise.
Know.
Ooh, exciting.
Really
That's
exciting.
Cool.
I do think, you know, a new look is sort of like overdue for us as well because
okay,
like
yeah.
we have when we launched the brand in like, what, May 2019, I think we are very aesthetically the same. Like we've sort of looked the same. Back then Instagram was all about, you know, that millennial pink vibe. Everyone sort of had like the similar aesthetic in terms of photography. And I think we've come so far in the digital world where e-commerce brands are looking crazy. Like they're looking, you know, their website experience is insane. Like it's, I think we just sort of need to up the ante a little bit.
Okay.
And get into the 2024s, you know? Just get up to date. Like, look a bit trendy. And,
yes,
like, it's hard,
fair.
Though. I mean, it's obviously a huge investment, huge creatively taxing on us as well. You know, we sort of have to work with our team to think, like, okay, what's trendy? What's going to last? We don't want to do this every 5 years.
Yeah.
So let's get this right and let's future proof the brand now. And, yeah. So exciting.
It's really exciting. So are you guys doing that all yourself or do you have an agency helping you out with it all?
Yeah, so we're working with agencies and freelancers to help us with the whole process. Because
nice.
Charlene and I, we just realised that we just don't have the brain capacity to be futuristic and think for, you know, think at future trends. So we're really lucky to be working with our designer at the moment. She is just so amazing. All the ideas that she comes out with is just, we're shocked and Every single time we speak to her, we feel so happy and excited for the future.
I think like a good question in terms of like if we're outsourcing or not, because I think a lot of the issues that a lot of startups come up, like come into contact with is, you know, we can't do everything. And like that's a huge topic of discussion, especially when you're on a startup budget. You know, there's only so many hats you can wear as an accountant, the lawyer, the bookkeeper, you know, you've got the SEO person, you've got the website developer. It's like we are only two people with two brain capacities with only so many ideas.
Yeah.
I think like when it comes to something like outsourcing creative and outsourcing a graphic designer, like those are crucial components to, you know, the success of the business and the, and you know, the new look and stuff like that. So I think there's huge onus on investing in where it counts most. And I think that is, yeah, sort of where we're happy to put our pennies towards.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. I think that's really good advice, especially people who are starting out or they feel they need to lift their game a little bit marketing wise. It's always okay to just ask for help because you wear so many hats as a like business owner and you can't do it all because you're constantly under the pump.
It's a lesson that we learnt. We tried to wear as many hats as possible. And then, you know, when it came time to finally decide that we can't do those things, we realised that to fix everything that we did mediocre cost more than if we were to just hire a professional in the very beginning.
And they can come up with ideas that you wouldn't even think of.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So I think that's awesome that you guys are doing that. Speaking of your social media, I did recently see your reel of you guys giving out $100 vouchers to like random cars at Chadston Shopping Centre, which I loved. I found so cool. How do you come up with all of your ideas?
Oh my God, thank you.
I just thought it was so funny.
So it's actually just being a avid user of TikTok ourselves. We use the platform before we started making TikToks and Reels. And it's about seeing what's trending and then seeing what other businesses are doing and trying to take inspo from them and then making the videos our own and evaluating if it works best for our business and just a trial and error type of thing.
Yeah, you because you guys have been posting daily Reels, haven't you?
Yeah, thank you. It took us so long to make video content. We dragged our feet for so long, but we knew that we had to do it as the digital space was changing and we just had to adapt because Instagram posting a photo wasn't cutting it anymore.
Have you noticed a difference from posting Reels to photos? Have you been getting more followers, etc.?
I think like when we first initially started the page, like a static post would be getting, you know, hundreds of likes, like a static image. This was back in 2019. It was insane. Like you could run a static image giveaway and thousands more followers to your page. Wow. Do you know what I mean? Whereas now Instagram absolutely hates that. They punish you for like running giveaways, basically. They hate it. And then I think like the other thing is with the change of the landscape, it's like the change of the consumer as well, because the consumers are coming more smart and they're more nosy. So they want to see, they want to see real faces behind a brand. They don't want to be buying off some random dropshipped website where they don't even know who owns the business. They don't know who runs the business. They don't see the day to day of what's going on. They want personality. They want, they want to see you. They want to see who's like sending my orders. Who's like, you know, packaging this, like, exactly. Who's behind the business? I want to see it.
I am one of those consumers.
I am 100% one of those. I am so nosy. Yes. I will go through someone's Instagram of a business and be like, do I want to purchase from these people? Like, is this something I support like as a consumer these days? And we understood that. And I think for a long time we were so uncomfortable sharing certain aspects of our business, certain aspects of our day to day. And it got to a point where we were like, well, if we don't adapt and change with the digital landscape, we sort of fall behind if we're constantly posting static imagery. And I think this is only like, we've been saying it for like almost 2 years now though. And it's only 3 months that we've been actually posting. So if you can see how long we struggled like to even get on the platform, but now it's like, okay, we've committed to posting every single day. And I think one or two of those posts a week has to be something that's personal, or like we're in front of the camera talking to our audience and our potential customers and just reaching a wider audience that way and connecting with people.
Yeah.
As opposed to, oh, hey, this is a fridge. It's got two shelves. It's yes. got a door shelf and it's... I'm a cute pastel colour.
You make
colour.
Your reels fun, though, and they're funny, and you can see your personality shine through in them.
Aww.
Yeah.
We do. We're doing the most. Not going to lie.
I've loved watching them. They're so funny. Aww. Yeah.
Thank you. That means a lot.
That'll keep us going for the next.
Yeah, you should though. You should keep going because it makes it more personal too, and it's like people actually get to know you.
Yeah.
In a better, well, how do I word this? Like people actually get to know you from a personal perspective yeah. rather than just a business perspective, which people prefer these days. Yeah. So I noticed you've been featured in Harper's Bazaar, Vogue, Elle, and even on The Morning Show, just to name a few. How did you feel when these big names recognised your brand?
Oh, that was like pretty much insane. It was like a full 360, like a 180 moment where you turn around and you're like, oh my God. I mean, I guess it was really cool to see at the start, especially because we were so small biz, like talking, you know, running out of my parents' garage, small biz. Like we didn't even have a label printer type of small biz. Like okay, we yeah. were, you know,
small,
it was
small,
teeny awesome, tiny, yeah. micro biz, you know. And then like, you know, you have the likes of Harper's Bazaar, like what? Like publications
How
you wouldn't
cool
even dream
that?
Of being featured in, which is insane. And I think when these huge eyes were noticing us, we were like, okay, well, obviously this is, you know, we've hit the jackpot in terms of the product. Because people are interested. We've got eyes on it. They want to feature us. They want to talk about it. So it's like, okay, it was a bit of validation that we were going in the right direction.
Definitely.
Which is huge. But for any startup, because what's the stats? Like 50% of startups within the first year fail. First 2 years, I think, fail. So
yeah.
the fact that we're 5 years in and it's still, you know, we're still treading along
yes.
somewhat. We're here.
Yeah.
I mean, that speaks volumes. It's definitely a product that's innovative and groundbreaking enough to have those type of publications notice us, which is, yeah, it was surreal.
Yeah,
that's all I can
sure.
say. Insane. Yeah, clearly there was a need and a want for the product. And then I think places like Vogue and Elle, we were featured on like not long after we launched.
Yeah.
Which was insane because you look at our website back then and I'm like, oh, God, like what were they thinking featuring this?
Yeah.
It was so bad. We had like our old photos on there. The old website layout was horrible. But you got to start somewhere, right?
Exactly.
Like that comes along with like experience, right? So like 1 year into it, you sort of look at your business and reevaluate like what can we fix here? Mm-hmm. And then we upgraded the website and the photography to look a bit better.
Yes.
The copywriting to sound a bit better as well. Like they're just things. You have to constantly reevaluate the business and sort of think to yourself.
I feel like it just comes in time,
yeah,
doesn't it?
Yeah, it comes
yeah,
with time. It
yeah.
Because you change as a person as well, and everyone's, the consumer's personal preferences change, trends change. And, you know,
for
what
sure.
I liked, you know, probably even with clothing, makeup, half a year ago, I do not like now.
Yes.
Yeah. So you always have to evaluate the business as a whole and make improvements where it needs to be instead of being stagnant and just keeping
Definitely.
Everything the same.
Definitely. Well, that's like personal life too, isn't it? You're just constantly growing and changing as a person. So it's the same for businesses. Mm-hmm. Where were you guys before Click Collective? So were you just working from your mum's garage?
Yes.
Really?
Yes.
Yeah.
We were literally in
cool.
my mum's garage. And then I think we were there for the first 2 years of the business.
Yeah.
And then we have obviously like 3PL, so like third party logistics for like the really big, big wholesale orders that we were bringing in because we're obviously sold in Maya. And we have another stockist partnership with Adore Beauty.
Yeah.
yeah. So those volumes that we can't necessarily handle from my mum's garage.
Yeah.
Because number one, you can't really put a container in front of your front yard because
no.
it's a residential property.
No.
We just utilized a 3PL third party logistics service.
Okay.
Yeah. So, yes, and then when we moved here, it was just quite nice. It
yeah.
was very nice to have your own little workspace. We've
Definitely.
Loved being here. The community, you know, the having our own little unit. And yeah, I think it's been great for me and Viv.
Yeah, and you guys are really involved in the community as well.
we do try.
And you talk to a lot of the members and it's lovely. That's something I love about Click too.
Me too. Because I'm like a bit of a chatterbox, especially in the kitchen. Like if I see someone and I'm standing there making my tea or coffee, I'll be like, what do you do?
Yeah, you know?
What do you
meet so many people here too, which is so cool.
No, I love it. You get to connect with like people from the same wavelength, I think. Yeah, so it's like
exactly.
It's an inspirational space to be in.
I would love to know, what were some of the challenges when transitioning from working for someone to working for yourself? And also, would you say you're the type of people who need a routine and a plan to stay motivated? Or are you both naturally quite driven people?
Oh, that's a good question. That's a very good question, because I find that we are both potatoes, actually.
I love the honesty.
Quite the opposite of driven. No,
I think,
to a certain extent, obviously, I think like being self-employed has been sort of humbling in the way that, you know, you're accountable for everything, you know, like in terms of your wage, your overheads, making sure that your eyes and ears are, you know, across every part of the business, because it now all falls on, you know, two people's shoulders, me and Vivian. So I think just having that accountability and the responsible mindset, you know, coming into work. And I think for the longest time we were like, oh, let's just do like 2 days of work a week.
Yeah.
And then it went to like, we should probably do three. And now it's more of a conversation of, should we be here 5 days a week? Is it one of those things? Because like when we were working a full-time job, when you're employed by someone, it's sort of just like everything sort of slides off your back, because at the end of the day you have a boss to answer to. And yes, it is your problem, but is the whole company your problem? No, you're like, an employee.
No, it's not. Yeah.
You know, you're there, you're hired to do a job, and you go home and you switch off. Like,
exactly. Yeah.
Or, well, yeah, if you're in a good workplace. If you're not, you're working around the clock.
Yeah, exactly. If you're in a healthy work environment.
Exactly.
Yes.
And I think like when we were working on it coincidingly, when we were doing TBF and working full-time jobs, like, I think just the stress, the anxiety of having like your head in two spaces, you'd go to work, you're 9 to 5, and then you're thinking about, you know, the beauty fridge, you're trying to finish work, but you're thinking about the beauty fridge, you're thinking about what's happening online. Like it was taxing in that sense. And I honestly wouldn't have it any other way now, but I think the transition phase, like, yes, we were sort of unmotivated. I think, to be honest, at the beginning. And I think we always just have to keep each other in check every now and then to think, okay, what's our goals for this month?
Yes.
Start posting on TikTok. Yes, exactly. We got that done. Or, okay, what are we going to keep scheduled this week for EDMs? Like, yes, we've sent that. Like, yeah.
So
I
you
think,
set goals for yourself.
Yeah, and a routine. Yeah. And I love using the calendar, the Outlook calendar for recurring reminders to keep ourselves accountable. It is my favorite. I fill it up. Yeah, it doesn't really look at it. It keeps me accountable for when we need to do certain things. So, yeah, I think that's what I think.
I think, you know, we do give ourselves a lot of leeway because we're both on the same wavelength and we do forgive each other for, I guess, slacking off. But I do think that in the beginning we were very motivated, because it does take a certain type of mindset, I feel, to be able to work 9 to 5 and then 6 to midnight every day for
definitely
a period of 2 years. And I think maybe the reason why we were not as motivated, I say not motivated, but a little bit lazy at the beginning, was because we worked so hard to get to the point where we could be self-employed, and we were probably just doing, I reckon, the same amount of work combined if we were working a 9 to 5 and we were just wanting to, you know, have a little bit of time off, have 2 days off to have that flexibility, that freedom, that dream that everyone wants when you work for yourself, to work whenever you want, wherever you want, right?
Flexibility is key.
Right? Because, you know, if we don't come in 9 to 5, like, we could work at any single time. Yeah, sometimes I can log in on the weekend if I think of something and then I do something. But I don't have to, but I could, you know?
Yeah, and that's the beauty about the beauty fridge.
But, yeah, now as we get busier and we have more things to do and we have more things planned for the future, I think we're keeping ourselves a lot more accountable for what we need to do, setting ourselves actual tasks and increasing our hours. Yeah.
Actually, I also saw you guys had your first pop-up store about a year ago. Do you plan on doing another pop-up sometime soon? I know you're doing the Click Warehouse sale, which is so exciting.
Yeah. So I can't believe it's actually been almost 1 year already. We're going to be participating in the Click Warehouse sale. We're super excited about that.
Have you done it before?
No, we missed out on last year's one because we were doing our pop-up store.
Okay, cool. Yeah.
So we're really excited to see our customers in person, new customers, repeat customers, and communicate with our TBF BFF family.
Yeah. I love that. That's so exciting. I saw you guys are nominated as finalists for the Melbourne Young Entrepreneur Awards for 2023, which is Friday night. Will you be attending and are you excited?
Yes, we will be attending. We are super excited. It is tomorrow night. Yeah, myself and Vivian and our partners are both going and we're going to enjoy a 3-course meal.
Yay!
Nice. But we'll see how we go. I mean, we did, I think I nominated ourselves.
Yeah.
We actually were finalists, so I'm really surprised.
You guys deserve it though.
Oh, thank
I'm actually
you.
Going tomorrow night.
Oh, are you?
Yeah.
No
for
way.
Marketing. Yeah. Oh, for really? Click.
Oh my god.
Yeah, I'm very excited. Nobody's Princess is also a finalist, which is a member at Vermont. So yeah, it'll be really exciting.
Cool. Yeah, I think we're nominated under the wholesale import export.
Okay.
And then the other nomination is for retail. So I think we're fine. I can't remember if we're finalists or both, but yeah. So I know we're finalists. I just don't really know what for what.
That's so exciting though.
That is very exciting. We never really apply for awards or we never really get nominated. So this is quite nice. It's quite nice to be recognized.
Is it the first Melbourne Young Entrepreneur?
Yeah, we've never been.
Okay.
We never actually heard of it.
That does actually surprise me.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Yeah.
We'd never heard of it until you guys sent through the email, I think, a while back. And then I was so snoopy and I clicked on it. I was like, ooh. And I was like, oh, we should nominate ourselves. Yeah. Let me apply for it. And then we heard back from them. We're like, oh, okay.
Wow. Oh,
nice.
Cool. Okay. Well, that's exciting. I'll see you guys there.
Yay. Yay. We'll have a fun night.
And then just lastly, where can the listeners find your products?
Where can they find our products? Well, on thebeautyfridge.com.au, number one.
Number one.
Number one. Number two, we are also on the Iconic, although limited SKUs are on there. So you're better off going to thebeautyfridge.com.au. And then we are also stocked inside if you want to go in person to see and touch and feel the product, Maya. So if you contact your local Maya store, we should be there. And then Adore Beauty is also another one of our online stockists. So
cool.
Yeah.
Amazing.
From the top of my head, that's the only – we've also got Neta Porter, which is one of our collaborations we did. They have a Neta Porter times the Beauty Fridge, which is, international besties can buy that.
Cool. Well, Charlene and Vivian, thank you so much for sitting down and chatting with me today. I've had so much fun getting to know you and your business, and I wish you all the best for the future.
Thanks, Lottie. It was a pleasure speaking with you and so much fun.
Thank you, guys.
Want to know more about where Charlene and Vivian run their business? Click Collective is a warehousing and co-working space built around the needs of an e-commerce community. On site, we have spaces for your warehouse, office, showroom, logistics, and a photography space. So we're a one-stop shop to run your business. You can head to our website to know more at clickcollective.com.au or check out our Instagram at clickcollective.